U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services is giving new guidance that's intended to clarify how it determines if someone's family is going to experience, quote, extreme hardship if that person is not admitted into this country. The agency has discretion, and the new guidance is intended to clarify what conditions need to be met. Some have expressed concern the current vagueness has kept a number of people in the shadows rather than taking a chance on asking for an extreme hardship qualifier and potentially being deported. Evelyn Cruz is a clinical law professor at ASU's O'Connor College of Law and is with me to explain. Evelyn, we often hear about there being a so-called line for immigrants who want to become citizens. Is there really such a thing?
There are a couple different quote-unquote lines. The biggest ones of the lines are the ones related to family petitions, the ones that I indicated, and the ones related to employment visas. Those are the largest chunk. And then we have small programs such as the asylum program, someone who gets asylum, or visas related to investors, for example. They kind of have their own little niche. So there is a very small percentage of individuals who can utilize those visas. You have to have an established family relationship in the United States. Or for the employment visas, you have to be in an area where we don't have enough workers in that area.
So let's talk about what's going on December 5th. USCIS is going to define extreme hardship. Is that defined now?
The process for someone to be vetted as to whether or not we allow them into the country requires that the Immigration Service establish whether or not there's a ground that bars them from coming in, and then evaluate whether or not there is a waiver available to them, because we feel that not allowing them to come in would create an extreme hardship for a family member here in the United States. And that term is very loaded. We have had over the years different case law, different standards, different discussions as to what it means to establish extreme hardship. And most of it was very much in the peripheral because it wasn't as utilized in the past as it is now. Now, pretty much every single one of those waivers requires that the person establish an extreme hardship. So it was pivotal for USCIS to give some guidance as to how they're going to evaluate it. After all, Congress gives them the power to establish parameters for that evaluation.
So what would be on the list potentially of extreme hardship?
So the list that they have created, it's not a checklist per se, because it's very difficult. They outright admit from the very beginning that this is a very individualized evaluation. They do provide some basic ideas of what kind of things we're looking for, things involving the fact that this individual is the primary breadwinner. That someone has health issues and this person will be necessary in the United States to help provide care. That this person is fundamental to this person's ability to be, continue to be a contributing member of society. And the waiver is not available for every activity that the person has done. It's very particularized. We will never have a waiver for someone who is a terrorist, even if it would be the extreme, unusual, hardest hardship. We would not waive that.
So how impactful do you think this change could be, specifically Arizona, but across the country? You mentioned how it would be nice to have the same rules in Wichita, Kansas as Mesa, Arizona. Is that the biggest impact we're going to feel?
That is the biggest impact. Obviously, there are places where they're being very harsh on these waivers, so they will see a change for the better. And there's places where they're being very lax on these waivers, and people will feel that the door has been closed on them. My general feeling of the Arizona spectrum is that they tend to be pretty fair here on a lot of these waivers. And sometimes when they have had confusion, they have kicked it up, if you will, up to the D.C. office to try to evaluate. And if anything, now it's going to be decided a little faster because they will have an ability to make the decision sooner with what they have instead of having to kick it up to the D.C. office.
Evelyn Cruz is a clinical law professor at ASU's O'Connor College of Law. We've been discussing possible changes by U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services.